I'm Joe Catalano with an AM Quincy news update for Thursday, March 21st. A man is dead after a house fire late last night in Carver. Fire officials say they got a call on reports of a fire with a person trapped inside a home at about 11 o'clock last night. The department said they were there within 3 minutes of that call, and upon entering the house, said they quickly found a man on the first floor. Firefighters located the deceased victim about 20 feet inside the building. A second person was able to escape the flames and was taken to a hospital, but his condition is unknown. Chief Craig Weston described the home as a total loss. No firefighters were injured. The cause of the fire is under investigation. The Carver Fire Department has not yet identified the victim. An $8 million school budget deficit in Braintree, with cuts likely, as residents upset. But the Braintree School Superintendent James Lee says a $75.5 million budget has now ballooned to $83.5 million. To close that $8 million gap, he says some tough decisions will have to be made, maybe including teachers being laid off, one or two elementary schools closing, course offerings and extracurricular activities cut, fees for school buses and school sports could go up. Last May, Braintree teachers did win a new 3-year contract, increasing salaries by 9%. At this week's Braintree School Committee meeting, the superintendent explained that it's a $5.2 million increase over last year. A proposal for a new condo complex near the historic Adams Birthplaces in South Quincy has been continued. At a public hearing before the Quincy Planning Board yesterday, an attorney for the applicant requested the continuation as they revised their original plans. Proposal calls for a 4-story, 9-unit condo with ground floor commercial space and 23 parking spaces at the site of the Auto Tech Repair Shop on Independence Avenue. The Adams National Historical Park worries that the development would impede visitors to their site. The planning board agreed to continue the hearing until April 17th. The attorney representing the man caught in the door of an MBTA Red Line train and then dragged to his death in Boston last year has released surveillance video of the horrific accident. 39-year-old Robinson Leyland of Boston died April 10, 2022, when he was pinched in the doorway of an inbound Red Line train at the Broadway station at about 12:30 a.m. and was dragged to his death. Leyland's family has filed a wrongful death suit against the T. A report released last June from the National Transportation Safety Board suggested an electrical short circuit, a camera blind spot, and a driver's failure to follow departure procedures all contributed to the incident that led to Leyland's death. Leyland, whose name was not used in the NTSB report, became caught in the door when he attempted to exit as the train was departing. The video shared by the family's attorney, Michael Mahoney, shows Leyland running along the platform of the Broadway station with his arm stuck in the door of the train. Leyland's death was one of the incidents that led to the Federal Transit Administration increasing safety oversight and ordering numerous changes at the T. Leyland left behind 2 children. After the incident, testing of the door uncovered a short circuit in the system that should have prevented the train from moving if a door was obstructed or open. Because of the electrical problem, however, the train was able to accelerate and the doors were locked into that position by pneumatic cylinders once it reached 3 miles per hour. 2 windows high on the South Station Tower, which is still under construction, were smashed yesterday afternoon by a beam that fell from high above the streets of Boston. The general contractor working on South Station Tower, Suffolk Construction, said in a statement that a piece of formwork fell from an upper level of the structure and landed in a zone on the 9th floor that was cordoned off and not accessible to workers. A piece of formwork is part of the surface of the form and framing used to contain and shape wet concrete until it can support itself. Form work includes the forms on or within which the concrete is poured, as well as frames and bracing that provide stability. Suffolk Construction said no one was injured. Authorities blocked off that South Station entrance along Atlantic Avenue while construction crews worked to cut and remove the beam that was dangling above the entrance. Crews were able to remove the beam and remove it after about a couple of hours of work. Boston Inspectional Services and OSHA will be investigating. When completed, South Station Tower will be 51 stories tall and provide 700,000 square feet of office space and 166 residential condos. Department of Public Health is warning the public not to drink bottled water from a company due to PFAS contamination. In a public health advisory yesterday, officials advised consumers not to purchase or consume bottled water or fill containers from self-serve water vending machines operated or distributed by Simpson Spring Company in Easton. Testing revealed that PFAS in the company's water exceeded drinking water standards. Anyone who has Simpson spring water in their home or establishment is asked not to consume it, to pour the water down the drain and recycle any plastic bottles, and don't buy or consume any new products from Simpson Spring. Until further notice, PFAS are a group of manufactured chemicals used in industry and consumer products since the 1940s. Current scientific research suggests exposure to certain PFAS may lead to adverse health outcomes. 18 Massachusetts charities and organizations, including one in Quincy, are receiving grants of at least $1 million from billionaire philanthropist Mackenzie Scott. She announced this week plans to donate $640 million to 361 small nonprofits nationwide through her Yield Giving organization. Each recipient is receiving grants of $1 or $2 million. Yield Giving's first round of donations is more than double what Scott had initially pledged to give away through the application process. Since she began giving away billions in 2019, Scott and her team have researched and selected organizations without an application process and provided them with large unrestricted gifts. According to Yield Giving, 18 Massachusetts organizations are receiving grants, including Quincy Asian Resources, which is receiving $1 million. Scott has given away $16.5 billion from the fortune she came into after divorcing Amazon founder Jeff Bezos. Initially, she publicized the gifts in online posts, sometimes naming the organizations and sometimes not. She launched a database of her giving in December of 2022. Karen Reed returned to court yesterday for a hearing centered around phone records as the date of her murder trial rapidly approaches. Reed, accused of killing John O'Keefe, her Boston police officer boyfriend in Canton in 2022, had last appeared in court on March 12th, where her attorneys argued the case should be dismissed and Norfolk County DA Mike Morrissey disqualified from the case. The judge has yet to rule on those motions, and as of now, the trial remains set to start on April 16th. Attorneys for both sides presented arguments yesterday on three motions filed by the defense seeking records pertaining to various witnesses in the case. The first seeks records from the State Police Internal Affairs Division pertaining to Trooper Michael Proctor, lead investigator in the Reed case, who's under internal investigation for an undisclosed potential violation of department policy. The second motion seeks phone records from Brian Alberts, Brian Higgins, and Kevin Albert from April 1st, 2023 to the present. Brian Albert and Brian Higgins were reportedly inside Albert's house on the night of O'Keefe's death, and Kevin Albert is Brian's brother and a Canton police officer. Defense attorney Dave Yannetti said the records would help to establish the defense's argument that someone other than Reed was responsible for O'Keefe's death and that there is a conspiracy to frame her for the murder. But Assistant DA Adam Lally argued that the defense's statements were largely inaccurate and injected with hyperbole and that the motion should be denied. The state Senate's teeing up their own proposal to cap how long people can stay in the strained emergency family shelter system. while enabling more than $800 million in state savings to flow toward the crisis response. The Senate will vote today on a redrafted bill imposing new limitations on family shelters, a potential cost-controlling measure after months of record demand inflicted massive pressure on the state's balance sheet and shelter systems. Like the bill that cleared the House, the Senate bill could push some people out of the system after 9 months, which would mark a shift in a state that by law guarantees access to shelter for eligible families and pregnant women. Some noteworthy differences between the House and Senate, though, include the bottom line and whether bars and restaurants should remain able to sell drinks to go portend tricky negotiations ahead for Democrats who have often struggled to move timely compromises to Governor Healey's desk. The bill Senate Democrats rolled out would require the state to create a rehousing plan for every family and pregnant woman enrolled in the emergency shelter system. Shelter residents would remain eligible for 9 months, after which the administration would need to review their eligibility. At that point, officials could award one or more 90-day extensions to shelter residents who meet certain criteria, such as single parents of children with disabilities or those who need an extension to avoid losing a job. Families and individuals could only receive a single 3-month extension under the House bill, rather than multiple extensions under the Senate bill. Governor Healey's team looking into what more the state can do to help high school students who don't pass the MCAS. But she gave voice this week to her opposition to a potential ballot question that would force the state to stop using the annual exam as a high school graduation requirement. Education Secretary Patrick Tutwiler previously said that he and Healey did not agree with the ballot push, which is being led by the Massachusetts Teachers Association. The question that could go before voters in November would not get rid of the MCAS, but would decouple the standardized test results from graduation requirements. Instead, each district could set graduation requirements based on completion of coursework that is certified as demonstrating mastery of the competencies contained in the state academics standards. Healey appeared to be drawing on data compiled in the fall by the Board of Education, who found that about 700 students per year, or 1% of each class, met local standards for graduation but left high school without a diploma because they didn't get sufficient MCAS scores. The MCAS was created as part of the 1993 Education Reform Law. Passage became a high school graduation requirement in 2003. A special legislative committee heard testimony from both sides on the MCAS in early March. The legislature can either approve the ballot question, pass an alternative bill, or let the question go to the ballot. If the House and Senate take no action, by May 1st, sponsors must collect more voter signatures to secure a spot on the November ballot. Last month, the Senate chair of the Education Committee presented an order giving the committee until the end of June to keep working on 10 bills related to assessments like MCAS. A check of business news this morning. Stocks bounced back. The Dow shot up 401 points. The NASDAQ rose 202, and the S&P is up 46. Asian stocks mostly higher after the U.S. rally following the Fed's indication that it expects to deliver interest rate cuts later this year. The dollar's down, the euro's up, oil at $81 a barrel. Sports. Celtics beat Milwaukee 122-119. They'll be in Detroit tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Tonight, the Bruins host the Rangers at 7. The National Weather Service forecast. For today, mostly sunny, windy, and cold. The high, barely 40. For tonight, clear and cold. A low of 25. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, still chilly. High of 42. Rain Saturday. Could be heavy at times. The high of 48 degrees. Sunday, cloudy and breezy. High 44. For the boater, waves about 2 feet. A west wind, 20 to 25. Gusting to 40 knots. High tide right before 10 a.m. Sunrise 6:44, set at 6:57. I'm Joe Catalano with an AM Quincy news update for Thursday, March 21st.